Awesome. Dude, it's fucking awesome to have you because you're one of these guys where I knew you in, I think we first met in like Club Casa, The Fuge, when we were like 12, 13, you know, trying to get our dicks wet. And now we're, you know, growing up and we're separating ourselves from the competition, right? Because we're being entrepreneurs, you with your brand and me with mine. And it's just fucking great. So, Jared, I'm so happy to have you back, man.
I am happy to come talk to you anytime, Sean. I love you. You're a great guy. And, you know, you're driven, man. And I think, you know, it's inspiring to me as I try to put out inspiration as well. So I'm happy to come talk.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah, man. So how's your 2020 going?
It's been interesting, dude. I mean, everyone's 2020 has been interesting. I don't think anyone's had a 2020 has been dull. It's been crazy and wild ride for everybody, but I think mine's been especially weird. But you know, it's okay. Shit happens, and I think you know, I'm learning, I'm growing, and everything 2020 is making me stronger, just like anybody else.
Yeah, and that's the big thing too. I want people to really come away with this whole 2020 thing because you can be. I know especially a lot of people who just graduated college and they're kind of down in the dumps. They're like, "Fuck, man!" And especially like my neighbor. Across the street, she goes to Penn State and she's actually up there right now. And she's like, man, we're only going to, you know, have classes like half in person, half online. And there's other people who just graduated Penn State that I know of that are like, man, I don't have a job. Like, but you got to keep a positive outlook. I mean, however way you slice it, man, it's either you're going to get down to the dumps or you can make something out of yourself. You know, that's really the two mindsets.
Yeah, yeah, I hear quite a few people talking, complaining, like, oh, I can't find a job right now, you know, my parents disappointed, this is disappointed, I'm disappointed, and it's like, look,
it's like,
there's no, you're not going to, end of the day, there's no benefit from being a negative Nancy, you know, what's the possible benefit of that?
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, I was reading this good book, it's called The Lemonade Life, and I know the title's corny as shit, but I forget the person who writes it, or who wrote it, but they just talk about, you know, they were in a classroom and they told people, okay, what you're going to do is, you know, because you had two people, right? You had one lemon, two people. You're like, you're going to split these lemons. And like, you're going to, the objective is to share them equally. Okay. Mm-hmm. So one group, there are three groups, right? One group and each group has two people. So one group, they just took the lemon and cut it right in half and they shared it between themselves, right? The second group took out the lemon, cut it in half, and then cut it into squares. So they had, you know, half still, but they had, you know, more pieces. And then the third group took out a lemon squeezer, squeezed the lemons, got the lemon juice, got some sugar, got some other stuff, mixed it, and they made lemonade for both of themselves. And that's awesome. The third group, and the whole point of that story is you're making something out of, you know, a situation, and you're thinking outside of the box, right? A lot of people think, oh, I need to have this like conventional bullshit job or whatnot, but it's like, that's not the get-go. I mean, listen, if you're a 9-to-5 person, God bless you, but that really isn't for me, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think some people like having a structure. They want to have nothing to worry about, wake up, go to the job. But then, yeah, here's the thing. So if you're going to choose that lifestyle of 9-to-5, then you can't complain when you have to take burden of a 9-to-5, which is, you know, you answer to a boss, you have to be at a certain time. So, you know, that's why I don't get. I don't think anything inherently wrong. Some people can have a great, fulfilling life working 9-to-5 or some job they enjoy. But to have a 9-to-5 and go, I hate my job, I hate my boss, well, then do something about it.
Yeah.
You know?
That's so true. And no, but there's no better example than you right now, because I know that you have a crazy fucking story to tell, which again, I'm going to let you tell it because there's like some legal implications. So for everybody who doesn't know, just take me back to like when this thing happened and then just bring us up to date.
Sure. I'll do my best. I can't talk too much about, I guess I would say that's what's currently going on. But I can talk about kind of what's public record I can talk about.
Sure.
So here's the background. I go to IUP, which is Indiana University of Pennsylvania, and I had a class taught by what I would argue as a radical left professor, which is, you know, inherently nothing wrong with that. We all have our own views. But I was discriminated against in the class after I wore a MAGA hat and some other stuff. So essentially, I was discriminated against in the course, and it got to the point where I had other students in the class coming up to me out of class and being like, dude, like, it's crazy how you guys kind of argue and whatever. All things aside, you know, people can, he said, she said, my opinion, their opinion, whatever. What I did, all I did was I went to her office. I wanted to look at my, because I had been graded unfairly previously, I wanted to see my final, which I made an appointment to see my final to look at it, because I have like the final the day of, it's the end of the semester, just to grade it. So it was a follow-up. I went to see the final. I looked at it. The final actually was graded fairly. Other things weren't, but the final was fine. So while I was there, I said, hey, look, you know, it was kind of, I planned it out that day. It was just further than them. It wasn't like, you know, much thought going into it. It was just, this is injustice. I want to confront her. So I went in there. I said, look, I'm here to also.
Your mic is, it's not like 100%. Like sometimes it's like cutting in and cutting out.
Okay. Is it better right now? Can you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, a little bit.
I can try unplugging the mic and redoing it.
That's fine right now. Yeah.
There's something. If yours on a 2 or a 3.
That's perfect right there.
Okay. Is yours on a 2 or a 3 here?
Yeah. Just like maybe speak up a little bit more, I guess, then.
Yeah. I mean, is it that's clear perfect. Or is it staticky? What do you?
No, that's perfect right there.
Okay. So while I was looking the final, I said, I'm here to confront you on political discrimination. I feel like you're playing against the semester. You were very nice. And, you know, just basically saying you were mean. And it's not right. And please don't do this to the next student. 5 minutes into the conversation, 4 minutes, and I pull out my camera, I had a GoPro in my bag. I said, look, I'm recording you. And I was very clear why I was recording her. My intentions were to have an impact on her. She wanted this, then I didn't feel like I was clear of my intentions. That's what I did. Didn't hurt anybody. Didn't threaten anybody. Don't do this to the next kid. I won't have an impact on you. And that was really it. Then fast forward, she called the cop. And the incident, the police were like, hey, you come back and press. I said, okay, I respect that. I understand that. I won't come back. I thought I was over with. And a week later, they raided my house with a search warrant. They seized all my electronics. I say shape the district attorney office of my college, my university. Pressed felony wiretapping against me. And lo and behold, a year and a half later, I had court recently. The judge ruled guilty for felony wiretapping for what I would say is recording a professor doing her job. And I think it's insanity. I said, I talk too much about what's going on now, but I believe long term, what's right and what's just will prevail long term.
Yeah. And again, I mean, it's just one of those things where you have, because I know when people go to college in particular, they kind of are under the assumption like this is a professional, like this is, you know, someone who does make mistakes, they're part of the university, they represent the university, but they're a human being just like everybody else. So they make mistakes. And in this case, you had a very radical left teacher who obviously didn't like the MAGA hat. She didn't like, you know, you being conservative at all. And then for her to continually bias you or put a bias on you to where you can't even, you know, do well in the class. I mean, that's just, to me, it's again, it's taking away your freedom of speech. It's taking away, you know, your independence, and it's not right at the end of the day.
Right. I mean, honestly, I did okay. I'd be in the class in the end. There was a few quizzes asked for a question on how she graded it. It was more of an issue of I got zeros for like correct answers when I didn't show work. And like, you know, it gets a weird thing that you could argue, oh, well, the test that show work. But then my perspective is, hey, this is a math course. I couldn't get the correct answer unless I knew how to do it, obviously.
Yeah, right.
And not just her. I think a lot of professors get sucked in this thing where they, and it's not about her, this is about lots of professors. They get stuck in this thing where they care more about enforcing the syllabus, enforcing little rules, their own little power thing. My syllabus, you know, they said, show all works. You didn't show all works, I'm giving you a zero. Or the syllabus said exactly this. And they get so obsessed with enforcing the syllabus that they value that power over the actual student learning.
Yeah. It's just fucking nuts. I mean, I had the – so when I went to Penn State, my first couple years, I was in Altoona, right? And I was in the engineering program, and I had – my teachers were fine. You know, my friend group was fine. But I remember this one guy in particular. I'm not going to say his name because he listens. He's a very adamant listener to the podcast, so I'm not going to, like, throw him under the bus. But I went in the dorm room one day and he wasn't there. And I was like, oh, where is so-and-so? And they said, he's gone. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, he just went off to Narnia? What the fuck do you mean he's gone? And he's like, yeah, he literally got, you know, arrested. And this is all for, he had like a little bit of pot, you know what I mean? But that's the craziest that I've really had in terms of like the authorities and college, like all blended together, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's just, man, it's a bad fucking rap end of the day, but it's just, yeah, it's really unfortunate. And that's why for me, I don't want to turn to this and make it like a whole political debate. I don't really care where we take this, but for me, I think, you know, and I was talking about this with my mom the other day because she's very, very, very liberal. And obviously she's, you know, she wants the best for the human race, just like we all do. And I think that sometimes we get kind of wrapped up in the whole, the media is such an evil being. There are a bunch of pedophiles in it, and they are just the amount of misinformation and just storytelling and the bias that goes around there. It's horrific because you don't really even know what's true anymore. And you follow all these different things. And I mean, all the social justice warriors out there that are doing their energy is in a good place, but they're taking it to like too far extreme. Like, for instance, a good example of this, man, is like when I was in Philly and they were burning down and we're well, not burning down, but they were like, you know, breaking into stores and cracking the windows, all this kind of stuff. It's so terrible. It's horrible. You don't ever get a chance in human history to, you know, witness something like this. And
they're not doing it for any real reason. They're taking advantage of something going on, go take some free stuff and loot. And, you know, and it's, and by the way, you know, I looked at the videos, not just any one type of person, not just black people, white people, you know, actually, I see probably more white people looting than black people, but these, you know, it doesn't really matter the skin color, to be honest. If you're looting, you're in the wrong. And it's, and these people, especially, like, I know this one dude, white kid from town over, and this, I don't know, he's based in Evansburg, town over, this white kid, he was complaining he got hit by a rubber bullet, you know, these unjust cops.
A rubber bullet?
Yeah, but guess what else he did? He was trying to sell a script of Adderall he stole from a pharmacy while he was looting. So I'm like, oh yeah, dude, I feel really bad for you. You're trying to sell something illegal, and you got hit by a rubber bullet for robbing a store. I definitely have no interest in that, and I do not have any interest in feeling bad for you either. Because
the nice guy for sure.
Right. And you know what's funny? Someone like him, he's chilling, man. He's home free. No charges against him. And I you know, I'm facing my charges for something nonviolent. No, I didn't steal anything. I didn't hurt anybody. So yeah, our justice system, this is like politics aside. I mean, this is politics. This is why I'm a libertarian, which I think is better than Republican or Democrat. And it's a funny story too, it's kinda funny. All of this I'm peeing it out, you know, was over. I'm hardcore Republican. No, I'm not. I'm libertarian because we need more freedom. And I think that both parties right now want to punish people for things that are just silly to punish you for.
Yeah. And a good example of that is, I mean, and what I'm about to say, it's going to sound so like I'm going to retrace my steps so many times. I'm not even have to edit this out. But the thing is, dude, especially with my dad, right? So he got convicted for like wiretapping and, and I'm sorry, not wiretapping, mail fraud and wire fraud. Okay. So like 5 counts of fraud, he was going to go to jail. And the judge ended up giving him like 78 months, I believe, or something like that. Something crazy, something astronomical that you're like, wow, I was imagining, you know, 2 or 3 years, but like 5.5, 6.5. Are you fucking kidding me? It's absurd. So, and I think it would end up being, yeah, 78 months, which is mind boggling. Right. But you really think about it, you know, he did, you know, a horrible thing, ripped off people. But again, you know, with the, and this is what's great about the one thing that I really like about, you know, Kim Kardashian, she's helping, you know, the whole prison system get a little bit better because it's so corrupt right now. I mean, the BOP, my dad has a good saying, it's backwards on purpose. That's the analogy, it's backwards on purpose. And it couldn't be farther from the truth because, yeah. And I'll tell the story, he was going to get released this May, right? He was going to get released this May because of the coronavirus.
I remember you telling me, yeah.
What happened was he didn't get released. And this is the only if, right? This is the only factor is because he was locked up on federal charges in the state of PA. Now, the fact that he was in a New Jersey prison right now he's in a New Jersey prison. That's the only factor. Say, oh, the state, we need to, you know, keep him there. So we can't ex-nay that sentence because of the coronavirus. He's in a different state. There are a different set of rules. We need to keep him there. And I was stunned. I had this conversation. We were crying our eyes out. And he's like, yeah, I can't wait to come home. You know, this watch right here, this watch is his watch. And I wear it, you know, very proudly. And it was the first watch that he gave me. So I wear this with, you know, a lot of confidence and pride. But it's just, it goes to show, again, whether we're talking, you know, the judicial system, the executive branch, any branch, legislative branch, any kind of branch we're talking about, there's always going to be bad people. They're always going to be crooked. But at the end of the day, we're looking for the common good. We're looking at that libertarian view or utilitarian view. I was in a social class, man, like sociology, and I don't know, the guy, he seemed like such a fucking cuck, dude, because he was like, he would come in and, I mean, like, God bless him, because he's a really good teacher. He's a very good teacher, but he was like, oh, the social justice warriors, they're trying to, you know, obviously do something right, but like, you know, and he was pretty much like, again, a huge bias to the SJWs and not necessarily taking into consideration the whole investment, small business thing, which at the end of the day, you need to do, because America's just like America's run on Dunkin', dude. America is run on small fucking businesses.
Run on grit and entrepreneurial drive. And you know what? I don't think that a lot of the social justice warriors actually are doing it for good. But there's altruism. You know what I mean? Altruism, I believe it is. That's when you're doing something that's truly selfless. And I don't think it's selfless when you're doing it for virtue signaling. When you got to post about how great you are, how virtuous you are, oh, look at me. You know, I post the black square for Black Lives Matter. Well, what have you actually done? If you really believe in that cause, you know, what have you done? You posted a black square. So, you know, I think that we're in a dangerous territory right now where people can catch a phrase and then they get to go around thinking they're better than you because they said the catchy phrase and you didn't say it. You know, white silence is, I've heard white silence is violence. And it's like, okay, well, what if you believe in this is not racist, why don't you do something about it rather than your chance? You know, it's not your chance on doing anything.
And it's believing in, I shouldn't say nonsense, but you're believing in something that has no real concrete effect on your living condition. So if I wanted to say, you know, I believe that, you know, like you just said, white silence is violence. Like if I don't speak up, I'm a white man in America, then I'm part of the problem. I'm racist. And here's the thing. We should all be doing our fair part, you know, on a daily basis. But you're 100% right, man. The people that just like, yeah, the black scores, that's awareness. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That is awareness. But if you really want to invoke justice, like, dude, you could talk to my mom about this. She'd love to talk to you about this because she's the supervisor of White Marsh Township. So,
oh, wow.
And again, she's, you know, very humble woman, comes from a, you know, very, honestly, like, I don't want to say poor, but we didn't, you know, she didn't have a lot growing up. Even though they moved, she was born in Denver. She moved to like Australia, went to school in Pittsburgh, and then married my dad and came to Philly. She didn't really have much. So it's great for her to still have that humble, you know, presence about her. And I'll send you a video, man. We were in Miles Park, which is about, you know, a couple blocks from my house. And they were doing a Black Lives Matter, not a protest, but they were doing, well, yeah, I guess like a protest. And we kneeled for like 9 minutes. And again, that's the next step, right? Of awareness than, you know, actually having gatherings. But the thing that we really need to do, and this is important for everyone to listen to, is we don't necessarily need, sure, there's awareness, which is good. And I'm not taking away from the people that are being aware, but it's the systems in which we have that need to be changed. So for instance, you know, there's a good quote out there that a fucking hairdresser trains more than a police officer in America. And that's just true.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. So what we should do is look at that system, say, wow, there's something very wrong with that. And Jocko, you know Jocko?
Of course. Love him. Great guy.
Amazing. I'm kind of going to say verbatim of what he said on Joe Rogan, but he was pretty much saying, you know, we need to be teaching them de-escalation tactics and techniques so that when, because let's just say, you know, I'm from a very nice part of Pennsylvania. I don't necessarily encounter murder, rape, drug abuse on a daily basis. someone in Kensington, Philadelphia, one of the worst neighborhoods, not for real estate, but one of the worst like neighborhoods per capita in terms of the crimes, you're going to see that shit all the time. So if I'm a cop and I'm just going to Kensington, you know, I'm not aware of that situation. I don't have certain techniques. So if I go into a drug or like a, you know, a fucking drug bust, or I go and try to, you know, stop someone from shooting me, it's like, I'm going to be really amped up because I've never been in that situation before. Thus, I'm going to act out in an improper fashion, whether I pull up my gun and I pop, pop, I shoot him a couple of times, or I fucking, you know, end up hurting somebody else. It's just unfortunate. And, you know, it's just, that's the main thing, is building the systems in place. It's the same thing with business, it's the same thing with politics. You need to fix the systems and then people will follow. And then, like I said, you're going to have corrupt people. They're bad apples. But if you have the system in place, it's going to follow.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. I think, like, you know, defund the police, I don't believe in that. The police need to be changed. We need to fix the police 100%. You know, there's no question we have an issue with the police. But then what's the solution? Is it just to get rid of them, abolish the police?
Black Lives Matter. It's ridiculous. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But, you know, the police need better training, and then we need, like, better – what I look is, like, my situation. The police aren't bad people. They were acting at their job that they're supposed to do. But the issue is they're doing a job they shouldn't be doing. Right? You know, our tax dollars should not be going to an all of Indiana court system police trying to get me on a charge for recording a teacher. Silly. You know, there was a shooting at Taco Bell down the street 2 weeks ago. There's drug dealing going on. And again, drug dealing, like, that's, I'm actually libertarian, so I think you should be allowed to buy or sell drugs if it's, you know, both parties consent and they want to do the purchase. It's a business transaction. And under libertarian, that would be legal. But the point is, there's real crime out there. There's real things the cops be doing to help the citizens, to help, you know, to be poor children, to help abuse women, help anything. And they are focusing time and money on pressing a felony on someone who recorded a protest. Like, it just, in Philly, in cities, I was watching Andrew Rogan podcast too, where they were saying that modern prison system is just an extension of slavery. And at first I was like, come on. But as he explained it, and from my own experience now, I've been in prison, but from my experience with the legal system, right, they come up with these charges, and then the prosecutor gets into this role. It's almost like acting, like, it's his role. You're the bad guy. He's saving a victim. Because that's the phrase. They phrase it with certain words, so you in your head. So it's like a gnosis thing. It's like a psychological. It's really deep. So, you know, you're told this is the person you're prosecuting. Bad guy, good guy. And I don't think these DAs even pause really to look at the situation objectively. Like, you know, is this wrong? Is what I'm doing wrong? It's just I gotta win. And like anybody who does any job, you're gonna want to win. You know, people don't want to be losers. So when you're making somebody have that viewpoint, they want to win against criminals, and we're not quantifying criminals. Well, you know, just anyone who doesn't follow the laws that we made 100 years ago is a criminal. You got an issue. You know, we need to focus on actual crime for people. The victim, someone's hurt, someone's injured, someone's screwed over. Those are crimes.
What do you think about, and this is something I just learned the other day, have you seen the Netflix series, like Cuties, with those girls?
God, yeah, I haven't seen it, but I know the scoop there. Yeah,
do you know what? Okay, so for the people who don't know what we're talking about, Netflix released a series about I don't know how long it is, but I just saw it like last week, where there's about what, they're 10, 11 year old girls, and they're making all these, like, you know, poses with, like, you know, like showing their bodies, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and there's a whole. Yeah, exactly. And there's a whole cover on Netflix that they took down. And their only response that I saw was on Twitter saying, we're really, really sorry that this offended people. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? You're sexualizing underage girls. Like,
yes. Remember, South Park did that with the gas company. They go, we're sorry. Remember that thing? We're sorry.
No, I didn't see that.
So it was when there's that BP oil spill. And that he basically destroyed the ocean. Like I came on TV, he's like, yeah, we're sorry. And it had a whole spoof on that. You see what it is now. It's just like, yeah, we're sorry. Oops. We sexualized some little girls on our, you know, giant platform. Oops.
We didn't know what we were doing at all. We just, you know, people make mistakes, right? It's okay.
Like what? No one stopped to think a show about 12-year-olds tripping the way to fame was a bad idea. Not one person said, well, maybe we shouldn't.
It's the same thing they do on TikTok. It's the same fucking thing they do on TikTok. It drives me crazy. And people are like, who's the most famous girl? Like Charli D'Amelio, right?
Meg, yeah.
Or whatever. Like, how old are they? They're like
15, 16.
Yeah. It's just, man, I've stayed off TikTok. I don't use TikTok. I think it's, for me, I just fucking think it's just not for me. I know there's a lot of people out there that they're making good, you know, good money on TikTok. They're building a social media following. But again, and who's the other thing too, which is like interesting, is who do you think is going to buy TikTok in the US? Because
Microsoft, Apple.
Yeah, I know Microsoft was in. Apple is pretty crazy because they just crossed the $2 trillion mark as a company. But again, I don't know who. I hope someone buys it. I mean, I don't want to see it die. Oh, excuse me. You know what I would love to see? I would love to see all of our fucking billionaires wrap our heads around and say, oh, you know Vine, that one app that we used when we were kids, our kids were, you know, kids? Let's just use that. Like, I fucking loved Vine. Vine was.
Yeah. But eventually it would be the same issue. Probably had this. Basically, the way it would
happen. Yeah, that is true.
Is the media. And this is why when people say, hey, yeah, don't shame, like, you know, the new video WAP, what SLC, party video, whatever.
Yeah.
So when you get music videos like that, you get 6ix9ine, you get Allude Media, you get Disney sexualizing Hannah Montana, you know, people are like, listen, these girls are choosing to sexualize themselves. Don't shame it. I get it on a surface level, but when that's the, you know, the norm, young girls are going to look up to that and want to do that. So, hey, look, they're going to switch attention by being sexy. I'm going to do that too. That's a real issue. And then it trickles down. It trickles down to Instagram. And then, you know, I'm going to TikTok. And what I see is appalling. There's these 15-year-old girls, 16-year-old girls dancing to songs about taking large cock. I push it, I pump it, I take it in me. Yeah, baby.
Like, that's
the lyrics, man. I'm not joking.
I know, just the way you said it.
And I look at their page and it's like, shit, they're 14 or 15. And, you know, sometimes they have the tongue out. It's like, yeah, that thing. And it's like, I don't think they even know what it means at the time, what they're incentivizing, what they're not buying.
Here's the thing. They're being fun some of the time, but others, and this is, again, you're completely right. They might see dollar signs. They might see Hannah Montana. They might see all these other people who did it before them and say, oh my God, I'm, you know, attractive. I can do this. I have a good body. Like, oh, I have to just wear like shorts in my videos, like a crop top. Like, that's not bad at all. I'm not like doing anything, but it invokes that. It invokes it. And you know, again, the population is a pretty, you know, again, common sense is not common, but we all have an underlying, you know, animalistic mentality in talking about sex where it's like, okay, like, you know, when some girl is like trying to like, you know, show her goods, you know what I mean? That's really it, but
right. Yeah. But it needs to be frowned upon. You know, it's not. This stuff can't be encouraged. Like people, you know, everyone's on the save the kid thing right now because the child trafficking being exposed. But the perspective people aren't taking is the sexualizing of our kids. The fact that everything from Disney to, you know, the main media, you know, so you go on Disney and you see Hannah Montana has 3 or 4 boyfriends in the show.
Yeah, right.
What kind of example is that? You're 16. Yeah, like a 16-year-old girl has, they, you know, 4 or 5 different dudes in the show. That's not a good example for a young girl. You know, what happens when, you know, a woman falls in love with a man, they have a great marriage, they have amazing kids. You know, the story that used to be inspirational, the legend, like a good family unit, gone out. On top of that, the media makes men these beta males. Every show now, you know, the guy's some weak dude who, you know, falls for a girl and runs around chasing her, doing silly things to get her attention when she doesn't even want him. And, like, guys, people watch shows and we learn from that. And that can't be the example. It is terrible, man.
Yeah. It's something definitely needs to be done. I've never, as I started to, like, really conceptualize Hollywood for what it is, it's a shame. And that's why I respect the people like Leo DiCaprio, like Keanu Reeves,
Ashton Kutcher.
They've done amazing work, but they're also, I mean, these are brilliant guys. Like, a good example is when you look on Leo's Instagram, you don't see, and again, he's a good looking fucking guy. You know what I mean? If I had a couple of drinks, I'd fucking try to kiss him. I mean, let's just be honest. He's a good looking fucking guy. But if you look at his Instagram, it's not about his body. It's not about, you know, his looks. It's about climate change. It's about stuff that actually matters. If you go on Ashton Kutcher, it's the same shit. He's trying to invoke a national response for things that matter. And, you know, Keanu Reeves, dude, a perfect example, because he's been, yo, he's fucking John Wick. He's John Wick with the shtick, you know? He's the boy. He's the guy we know. He's what movie am I thinking of? The Matrix.
Matrix. Ah, great movie.
He's the guy. Like, he's worth, again, with Leo and with all these guys, hundreds of millions with an M, millions of dollars. And they choose to be humble and just go on with their lives and try to just be kind. And to me, it might seem like a simple life, but that for them, I can imagine, is that they had to really do some soul searching to get to that. It wasn't just like, oh, I'm going to be humble. Like, they saw it. They got to another level of fame. They're like, okay, I'm going to remain this. Because when you say it, you're not necessarily going to be humble all the time. You know what I mean? Like, for instance, let's say I see, like, I'm 12 years old, right? I see Jordan Belfort, and I'm like, oh my God, I want to be like him. Like, this is nuts.
Oh, I was there, dude. I did that.
I want to start selling. I want to be big. And then when you get to that point, you're like, you know what? But I'm going to remain humble. I'm going to fucking, you know, take care of my parents, be a nice guy. I'm going to keep a low profile. You have those thoughts when you get to that certain point where you're like, fuck it, I'm going to go blow bottles, get with some models on Instagram, like take some flicks, you know? And before you know it, you're doing the exact opposite of what you wanted to do. So it takes some obvious conscientious ability and for you to be present enough to say, you know what, I'm just going to chill the fuck out. I'm just going to sit here Friday night, Saturday night. You know, I don't need to go to these big Hollywood, you know, parties just because I feel like I need to, you know, boost my ego. I'm comfortable with the person I am. And I believe that we need to invoke certain change. And that's really it. And yeah, I fucking love those guys. There's a video of Keanu Reeves on the New York subway. He's just like an average
I've seen that.
He's average guy. Yeah. Yep. The cool thing is he's blended in. Like, you don't see a bunch of people just like walking up to him. Like, people know it's Keanu. It's like, and you know, to respect, because that's, you know, his personality, you know, because you don't go up to him all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I think when people choose a career where they're in the public light, like, you know, especially being a rapper, you know, your people listen to your words. You have a weight, our responsibility on you when you're doing that, when people are listening to you, to not encourage bad things, especially if you know it's bad. You know, like, some of the things that your rapper's encouraging, you know, do you, what if it was your kid listening to it? Do you really want to encourage your kid to go join a gang and drink lean? Like, is that really the right thing to do? And people don't, very few people now are taking that burden of saying, hey, you know, I have a voice now, and I gotta stop making just reviews, and I need to actually put out things that I believe in. I would want my, you know, my child to listen to. I want my child to follow that. But, like, you know, like 6ix9ine's videos. You know, you ever see one of those just women twerking and talking about the gang life and, you know.
Yo, who's that, the Chinese girl who she's like 6 years old? She's like, fuck you. She's like, I got hella millions. I'm buying Lambos. Like, you don't know me, son. Bro, just crack me the fuck up. Oh, my God.
Little Tay, bro.
It's fucking hilarious. I can't. It's just like this little girl, she's got that big dick energy and she's just out wild. And
dude, she ended up, her parents had lost custody of her. That was a whole thing after that all went down. It was all fake, her like saying she's lost money and stuff. It was her brother behind the scenes.
Yeah.
That's a crazy one.
That's so ridiculous. I don't know her whole story, so I definitely believed, obviously it wasn't her money, but that's hilarious. Yeah, I've always just kind of remained humble. Like, I haven't, like, you see the car I drive. I drive a 2006 Ford Taurus. Yeah. Yep. Could I get a nice car? Sure, if I wanted to. But I'm not, again, and it's not like a status thing for me. It's like, I don't need, like, I want to invest in assets because I want to build generational wealth. I'm not going to get there by spending on all of these things that are just going to make me look cool. The whole thing of like the whole presence of being cool, that's such an enigma. That's such a, you know, like being ahead of like the next thing, you know, and this is what I don't like. And again, for me, because I'm engulfed in the industry, I don't enjoy the presence. So that's where a lot of my anxiety comes from, from like, and comparing yourself to others is a big thing for me too, man. Cause on a lot of ways, you know, I like to use this podcast and platform to just talk and really express my feelings. But, you know, I know a bunch of people that they drive, you know, sick cars, they invest in real estate. So it's like, oh, should I be getting a new car? But it's like, again, you're playing a game with yourself. It's one versus one on a daily basis. And when you really understand that, which I'm, again, you know, and it's not 100% of the time. I could be, because I just turned 23. You're a fucking young guy too. What are you, like 22? You're
Mike. I'll be 23 in December.
Nice. Wait,
yeah.
What? I forget.
December 10th.
10th. Okay. Yeah. My dad's December 18th.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. What sign is that, by the way?
Dude. I don't follow those signs.
I don't even
sign. I think the signs are cool, but they're cool until, you know, the girl's driving and like crashes. Sorry, I'm a Cancer. I just do crazy things. Cut your dick off in your sleep. Sorry, I'm a Sagittarius. My bad.
What if you're like, you go on your astrology page and your whole, I don't even know what they call it, the whole like bravado for the day is, oh, you're going to be like some crazy bitch and murder someone. You're like, oh, I'm a Taurus. Whatever. I'm just going to go out and kill people.
That's what it is, man.
My horoscope. I'm just going to fucking murder people. It's okay. It's what I am.
Yeah, it's my astrology sign. I can't help it.
Oh, my God. What a crack of bullshit, man.
But, you know, I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah. Something else I kind of wanted to talk about is, for me, if you had to put a gun to my head, who's going to win the election right now? Who do you think is going to win?
Trump.
Like, you're like Biden, Trump, or get shot. Honestly, dude, I'm so flabbergasted with information. I wouldn't choose the gun, but it would be like, fuck, I really don't know, because there's two sides of the coin. With Trump, you have, he's obviously exploiting Biden's age and what's going on with his mental capacity. We can all see that. That's not some figment, you know, of the far right's mind. This is all true stuff. This is all real. And even if you go on Donald Trump Jr.'s Instagram, you see Biden walking out of a restaurant and there's a girl like, you know, escorting him out, kind of like he needs help. Like, he's not in the most stable condition. And then on the other side, you hear, with Biden supporters, you want to say, oh, we're choosing the lesser of two evils. We just really want change. We want someone who is going to, you know, not be racist and stand up for what we believe in and all this other stuff. But if I really think about it, I don't know who's going to win. It's, and like the whole post office thing, which I guess we can get into that too, but I just want to know your thoughts on that, because I can't really decide who's going to win. I don't know if the silent majority is going to show up, or I don't know.
I heard twice Joe Biden say, grab his wife and say, I'm Joe Biden's husband. But he that was saying, Joe Biden's, there was, I am Joe Biden's husband. He doesn't even know who he is, dude. And I do believe that Biden is really a bit for about Mala. Kamala, how do you pronounce her name?
Kamala Harris, yeah.
Kamala. If you vote for Biden, you're voting for Kamala, which, hey, maybe you like her policies, I don't know. But I think that's a fact. I believe if you're voting for Biden, you're essentially voting for Kamala to run the country, which might be fine with that. I'm not. I'm not going to sit here and say that Trump's the best president ever, because it's not my belief. I'm not saying he's great. But I do believe he's the better option between the two. Because those are two options. And I want a libertarian candidate, but they're not going to win. And that being said, I think Trump will win. I think enough people. And here's the main reason I think Trump will win. If the Democrats had a normal platform, like, hey, you know, we're looking for more social justice to like a fair extent, want to do like real things to help communities, they might have won, or if they had a better candidate. But they are pushing borderline socialism and everything free. I think enough people are woke enough to say, hold on, these are real issues, but making everything free is not the solution. So I think enough people are woke to say, this is going to be devastating to our country. We cannot vote for this. I think Trump will win based on the avoiding socialism.
I'm not sure. I was talking with my stepbrother. I'm like, yeah, Trump's going to win. And then I was seeing the numbers. And I'm like, again, I don't bank all of my, you know, end of the day, it's not like you just result to the polls. But I was like, man, he's up like 10 percentage points. I don't know. Again, even if, let's just say, if those are totally inaccurate and it's like 5 or even 2 or 3, he's still up. Is it enough to like side the other way? I don't know. I just say fucking shoot me. Put me out of this fucking life. Because I don't know. You know, I just think, okay, realistically, I think, I don't know, man. It's just because there's so many different variables. I mean, I can't, because I really change every day.
The main variable I say is that people hate Trump so much that they just literally don't care about the policies of the alternative. It's just F Trump. We're voting for the other candidate just to get Trump out of office. And another candidate's platform could be, you know, enforced homosexuality. Everyone's got to be gay one day a week. And they vote for him because it's not Trump. State enforced homosexuality. It's our new role. Everyone's equal. It's fair. And, you know, people go, okay.
Everyone's going to be gay a week.
That's the Sam Hyde.
Because you know some people that are like, if you like really talk them into it, you'd be like, I could talk this guy into sucking my dick.
Dude, listen, if you're not okay with state enforced homosexuality, it's because you're homophobic.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you homophobic? Yes. That's what they get you now. They choose an argument and they imply if you don't agree with it because you're a racist, homophobic. And that's just not the case. There's so much more to shit. And that's how you get people. That's when I'm not one. If you, I will engage in an argument with anybody who wants to engage in a debate, argument, be friendly. But the second they pull those cards, I think it's called like a straw man, where you're basically oversimplifying things or implying something that's not true. You know, like with Black Lives Matter, for example. It's, you don't support Black Lives Matter. Oh, so you're a racist. You don't support Black Lives Matter. You know, and it's an oversimplification of the situation. I do support the literal interpretation of Black Lives Matter. I do support that.
Likewise.
I don't support the organization called Black Lives Matter. So it's such a, that's a, when you get into a minute argument, you're trying to oversimplify it. And if not the case, you know, you get fake news because, you know, someone says, President Trump says, I don't support the organization. And the news goes, you know, how can you not support Black Lives Matter, which is a logical statement? How can you not support that? Well, he does support the sentence. He doesn't support the organization. And it's important to clarify that, but they don't.
And to add on to that, I really feel that if you take all of Trump's, you know, all of the things that people say that is, you know, bad about Trump, whether he's a racist, I mean, it's just not there. You can't really make that good of an argument. You're just going to make these bland things. Just, and again, like I was saying, you know, earlier in the show, I was talking to my mom about this. It was her fucking birthday yesterday, man. We were having cake and my brother stopped over and we were talking about, you know, politics. And she's just like, she like literally gets on her knees and she's just like fucking, she's like, don't vote for Trump. Just like, and she was getting so emotional with it. And I said, Mom, like, just take a step back. This is like, again, let's just call for what it is. Is another re-election of Trump going to directly impact you in a way that it's going to severely, you know, and when I say severely, I'm saying you are going to be, you know, your mortgage is going to be, you know, ridiculous. You're not going to be able to, you know, get medical care or insurance at the same rate. You're not going to be able to have the kind of freedom. Is that really going to change? No. So I just think you're making it more of a, like an emotional decision rather than a factual one with actual backed up statistics. Cause I mean, dude, Trump before all this, you know, sexual bullshit with Hollywood, no one really exploited it like he did. No one really put money to it and blew it up in a bigger view. I mean, here's the thing, Obama, end of the day, did he implement systems that really no longer work, that we are still unfortunately being impacted today? Yes, that is true. But do I think overall, do I like the way in the presence of which he held as president? Yeah, I do. I just, some of the things is, again, you could be, you know, again, and this is the thing too, you could be like Trump where you're not really a politician, but you could still be making, you know, big moves. You don't always have to carry yourself in that sort of light. It's just, it's not as black and white as everyone thinks. Like, you're not going to have the perfect candidate. You're not going to have someone who does, you know, checks all your boxes. And it comes to this every year. Everyone's going to say, oh, like, lesser two evils. How many times have people used that term in, you know, all the elections? It happens every single time. So, and again, has your state of mind or has your state of living in this country really changed? Not really. I mean, not necessarily. For me, I'm fortunate. I'm middle class. I am white. So, you know, on a grand scheme basis, again, I'm not a fucking PC person, but yeah, I do have certain privileges over certain people. That is statistically true. But I'm an independent fucking man. You know, I got my own company. I got my own thing. I'm doing my own thing. I don't have to rely on anybody. And I think a lot of people are saying, oh, like, we're going to have to, like, rely on this person to bring us out of it. It's like, bring your fucking self out of it. Bring yourself out of debt, out of emotional turmoil. Bring yourself out of all this depression and anxiety that you're, what, whoever gets elected is not going to, you know, it's not like you're going to flip a switch and it's going to completely extinguish all your problems. You need to internally, and it's again, this is what I preach all the time, man. It's just about harnessing the power of visualization and self-awareness. Because if you're self-aware, you can understand the problem.
Exactly. You learn to adapt and be good under any condition. And that's what, you know.
Yeah.
I believe I can be successful relatively, you know, unless we have a full socialist country. Relatively speaking, I will be okay and successful under almost any condition. As long as I'm free, I'm able to use my brain, I'm able to contribute to society, to produce a product that offers value, which for me, you know, for me, content, you have your, you know, the variety of digital businesses that you're working on, and you offer, you know, 360, Momentum, like, you offer services that offer value.
Sir.
And I, you know, that's really what it comes down to. Can you learn a skill, create a company, create a business? You offer value to people. And if you do, people will give you money. You can offer value. You know, also while I'm on your show, I would love to talk to you about, you know, what makes someone successful. If you're cool with getting into that.
What was that? Like, what makes?
What makes someone successful? How does someone become successful versus, you know, a lifelong failure? Why do people fail?
Okay, so here's the biggest thing that I always say this, like, I was just interviewed for, with Emerson College. They're a college in, I think, Boston area. Yeah, Boston. And I read the interview and I was all over the place. Like, for me, this is something, for me, one of my weaknesses, I just need to, like, tighten it up more and focus on one thing, because I talk about way too many things at once. But, and I always say, oh, it's the biggest thing. So I need to stop that. But to answer your question, what makes someone successful is, I truly believe, and it's not just one thing. We know this. It's not just one thing. So I'm going to assume that the person already has passion. They already know what they want to do. They know what they love to do. And they're trying different things. A successful person, and I can take myself an example. Now, I'm not trying to be pretentious, but I've had a lot of setbacks in my life, a lot. I've applied for different internships. I've applied for contracts. I've pitched hundreds of companies, and I failed. But I don't let that discourage me. In fact, I use that as not only motivation, but I use that as I get feedback from that. So for instance, what I do is, if I pitch a company and they say, you know, Sean, the price or the services or the timeline, not really in our repertoire, not really what we're looking to do. Thanks, but we're going to go somewhere else. I say, okay, that's fine. I appreciate the time you had. Hey, one thing before we go, what kind of I improved on? What do you think I could have done better? And I've done that throughout it. I need to do it a lot more, but you really self-reflect and you use your failures as building blocks to get to the next piece. So for instance, let's just say for my goal 2 years ago was, I want to own the biggest virtual tour agency in Philadelphia, which we are now, right? By numbers, we are the
congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome.
And we're, there's a couple like solid competitors out there, but in terms of the volume we do, in terms of just, we're number one. And again, I looked at our numbers on our Google My Business, which is a key indicator with the Google reviews, how many numbers we get, how many website visitors in Philadelphia. I looked at all that stuff And then I did comparisons between our competitors and between our and ourselves. I'm like, okay, what do we need to actually do to improve? So I, you know, determined a very calculated plan of, okay, here's what we need to do to get more digital presence. Here's what we need to do to impact customers on a more personal level. Here's what we're going to do to opt people in. Here's what we're going to do for cold emails. Blah, blah, blah. So all these different plans I was focusing on. And like I said, it's not a, you're not going to flip a switch and it's going to happen overnight. But in a period of about like a couple of years when I was in college, we started gaining literally more momentum and traction. Yeah. And we, again, you know, we failed and we got feedback and we implemented tactics. We failed, got them. And then here's the thing too, that failure starts to lead to lower hanging fruit. So for instance, let's just say for example, that I am, you know, trying to dunk on a 10-foot net, right? And this is probably a better analogy for so that people can follow. And I train and train and train all day long, right? Now I said, okay, let's just say for 6 weeks, I'm going to be doing this training. And by the 7th week, I want to be able to dunk, okay? So the first week goes pretty well. I have a good training session. 2nd week, 3rd week, 4th week. And by the 3rd week, halfway through, I'm like, okay, let me just test it out. Let me see what I can do. And when I first started, I could barely touch the net, right? Now I can touch the net, but I can't grab the rim, okay? Now the 6th week comes up and the 7th week, and I'm like, okay, now is when I should really try to dunk. This is what I set in for the goal. This is, you know, what I want to do. And now not only can I not dunk, but I barely can't even grab the rim. You know, I can just barely tip it, right? Barely tip it. That little iron box right between, you know, before the, like the backboard, like that little iron thing to attach the rim. I can get that. I can barely flick it. Okay. Sure, you may have failed in your goal to dunk in 7 weeks, but look how far you've come. Truly, you weren't even able to flick the net. And now not only can you get the net, but you can get the iron. So the plan isn't going to go 100% all the time, but if you think you can still have the passion, implement tactics, and learn from your mistakes, then you can take those building blocks and say, okay, in 7 weeks, I think I should be able to do this now. I think I should be able to do this. And then you do it. And then you go into the next thing. And that's really it. You know, people get discouraged. They want to have, and there's a million ways to really define success. But for me, it's just being resilient. Like, give you a good example, dude. And I know I'm rambling, but I just want to get as much, you know, information as possible. My one best friend, I love him to death, Chris Andriola. I'm literally going to go down the shore with him in a couple hours here. He told me, when was it? On Wednesday? Yeah, on Wednesday, he told me, because he was going to be my co-signer for my first real estate property, I was going to give him, you know, 50-50. We're going to split it dead even. So the money I was going to make, he was going to make per month. No ifs, ands, or buts. We were going to do the same thing. He told me, he's like, yeah, Sean, you know what, man? I just can't do it. And we were going to have a call at 5 o'clock. We were having this conversation at 4:30 that, oh, like, we're not going to do this anymore. At 5 o'clock, that call was to take the next steps to, you know, with the co-signers to get approved for a mortgage, to find a property. And of course I was upset. I mean, you probably saw my Instagram story. I was like, you have two choices. You can either learn and grow, or you can dwell and be upset. And for about 20 minutes, I gave myself that for the whole night, really, dude. I was like, fuck this. This fucking sucks. It's horrible. And I'm really just really, 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 really pissed off. And I saw Chris that night and we were talking, and I'll be honest. Do you think if you asked me, do you think you were being a little hard on him, pressing him? A little bit, but I was really just giving him an opportunity to make some money. I know the kid is going to go to med school and he's going to owe, you know, $100,000 or some crazy shit like that. I want to help him out because I love the guy. He's one of my best friends.
Not everyone wants to, you know, commit and do. And, you know, and who knows? Some phrases and reasoning.
Yeah. I'll leave everybody with this. What makes someone successful is if, like Rocky said, it doesn't matter how hard you can hit. It's matter how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. That's really it. To keep being resilient and just do what you need to do and just keep being you, you will be successful. Right. Doesn't matter where you come from. It just matters about what you have inside. The self-belief and the confidence to just, you know what, this isn't working, but I'm going to keep figuring it out. I'm going to keep getting feedback, and I'm going to keep learning and being a student of the game. That's what separates someone from being successful. Someone who is not successful is going to take that failure, dwell on that for months and say, I'm not successful. I'm not built out for this. Yes, you are. It's a state of mind. Do you think when I started the podcast, when I started the podcast and when I was an intern for Momentum, I was like, man, I'm starting at the bottom here. Like, this is, you know, I don't like doing this. Of course, but I know that it's not going to be overnight. I'm here for the long term. You know, I'm here for that long success, that long game that I have to play in order to get to where I want to be. I just need to put in the work. That's really what it is, being patient.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. But yeah, it's defining how to be successful, Jared, is very hard because you don't necessarily, it varies person to person. But
I don't think you can define it. There's just more principles you can apply. Like, you know, you're saying that people right now, it's short-term gratification. You know, they start something and it's like, damn, why am I not making money from this already? Why am I, and excuses. There's so many fucking excuses, man. Oh, I can't, I've heard, and this is not, people want to hear this, can't talk about that, I'm talking about multiple people. You know, and it's not bad, just people don't realize this. I've heard people say, I want to start a podcast. I want to start making content. I go, okay, well then why don't you start it? I don't have the proper camera equipment. I need to get better equipment. I need to get better this. Dude, you have a phone. Like, people will make any excuse in the goddamn book to not start their goal. And it's not really a goal then. And one of my favorite quotes, I've already said this, but it's, no one cares what you're going to do, they care what you did. My favorite quote. Because everyone says 1,000 things they're going to do. I'm going to do this. No one gives a fuck what you're going to do, bro. They care what you did. What do you actually, what did you do? Anyone can say anything. I can say that I'm going to be a millionaire next year. I can say I'm going to be a famous rapper. I can say I'm going to start a podcast. But it really doesn't matter if I don't do it, does it? You know?
In addition, because I have a call at 10:10, so I kind of want to wrap this up, but I'll leave everybody with this. There's a good quote. I forget who said it, but somewhere someone made it up. And it says, the same thing people hate you for right now, they will love you for in the future. And that's so true. Something that, you know, has been true throughout the ages. And I'll say that again. The same thing people hate you for right now, they will love you for in the future. So, you know, when people bust my balls all the time about the podcast. Oh, like, you're still going to do it. You're not going to do it. You know, they're going to look back one day and say, wow, he started from this and now he's at this, or, you know, that was pretty cool of him to do that. So, that's it. But Jared, it was an absolute pleasure, my guy, like always. I got to come up with the fucking IUP and we got to rage one of these times for sure.
You're welcome here anytime.
Yeah. But listen, I'm going to definitely hit you up. Have a good weekend, bro. Thanks for all the great info, and we'll see you soon. All right.
All right. Thank you for having me on here.
Absolutely, bro.
Yeah. Good luck, man. I'll see you.